Didn't Kate do a great job last week? She really did. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me in the last week and just said, "Wow, she blew me away." That was great. I think I mentioned just how thrilled I am to see so many of our young people who are embracing a challenge that the Holy Spirit gives them to go places that are frightening and different from home. They set their comforts aside to bring the Jesus story to people that don't know him. I just love being part of a church that embraces outside of our walls and moving out, whether it's just down the street or whether it's in who knows where. Literally Timbuktu is one of those places. Amazing. And you know, as I thought about it, the motivation that's theirs is exactly what the angels sang about on that first Christmas morning. It's news for all of us to hang on to move forward with. You see, the truth is, there is within our nature a desire for good, a desire to know wholeness, a desire to know completeness. But at the same time, there's another nature that is at war in us, a sinful nature. And most of us, we don't want to admit that, do we? Like, come on. I don't want to admit my sin. Let's talk about the good stuff. But let's not talk about sin. To be honest, I want to keep that buried. I want to keep that in a dark recess. I want to keep that away from everything else. But sin is part of our DNA. It wasn't God's intention for us. Never. It wasn't part of the original design. But it entered into our reality through disobedience and rebellion. Anybody know anything about disobedience and rebellion? Sure got quiet in here. I know that some will argue that maybe we shouldn't be recognizing that or talking about it, but I believe that sin nature, if we don't recognize it, if we don't bring it to the forefront, we're actually ignoring some major portions of Scripture, because Paul is really, really clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. It's a common denominator that we all share. And the problem is, it's far easier to recognize your sin and ignore mine. Isn't it? Like, it's really easy to point the finger at somebody else, but boy. The deal is, either way, it ends in one thing, death. Death. So some of you may be thinking, come on, Glenn, isn't this just a little heavy for a Christmas story? Hang in with me just for a few minutes. You see, the angels sang about good news. Good news that leads to eternal life. They didn't sing about the news that brings death. They sang about the news that brings life. Paul wrote, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Therefore," and then he goes on in Romans 8, "therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." And you see, that's the second part of the angel's message. Listen to it again. Just listen to it again. Okay? Because we are all under condemnation. We are all under this burden of sin. We share the same DNA. We just kind of keep it cloaked and covered up, but it's there. And so the angels are addressing that. That's what they're talking about. That's what they're singing about. "And the angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's the good news. See, the bad news is, yeah, I carry a burden of sin. But the good news is, I don't have to. Because a Savior has been born. For who? For who? For all. Not for many, not for most, not for some, not for just the ones who are like us, not just for them. It's for all. That's the news. It's all encompassing. So when some of our kids say, yes, I will go, what they're doing is they're saying, yes, I want to be part of the message for all. And thank you for doing that. It's the best news. It's the greatest news. Yes, we're caught in a vortex of sin. There's no two ways about that. We're all a part of the wrongdoing of sin. And as a part of that, there's an emptiness, there's an incompleteness that's within us. It's attached to us. And we attempt to fill it in so many different ways. We attempt to live our lives so very often outside of a relationship with God. And the truth is we're only partially living when that's where we are. There's still a hunger deep down inside. We all have known those who have attempted to fill this emptiness with all kinds of toys, numerous things, that in the end, they come up more desperate than they were in the beginning. Because the thing that was supposed to bring them contentment falls short. Only lasts for a short period of time. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So where is this joy found? Where is it? You may remember last month I was preaching a mini-series in Philippians, a book that's often referred to as the Book of Joy. And Paul uses terms like, I always pray with joy. Make my joy complete. He calls them my joy and my crown. You see, joy, if we look at it, it's chara. And chara is the thing inside of you that makes you content, that makes you satisfied. That thing that fills you, that you long for. I bring you good news that will bring you contentment, that will bring you peace, that will fill you. That thing that is so deep inside of you that you long for it. I bring you that news. You remember Paul is writing the book of Philippians from a Roman prison. It stinks in a Roman prison. It's not a place you want to be. But he says, when I remember you, it gives me joy. It gives me completeness. It fills me. You see, joy is far more than happiness. It's deeper than happiness. Let's not confuse joy and happiness. They're not the same. I bring you good news to make you happy? No. No. And yet our society often places happiness as the pinnacle of success, doesn't it? Oh, man, they must be so happy. Look at what they've got. Look at the castle they live in. Look at the cars that they drive. Got to be happy. And yet we all know, we've all heard the stories of tragedy. But we place happiness as saying they've arrived. Right? They've arrived. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you news that settles the inner longing in your heart. today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And in spite of our rebellious nature, he continues to call us into a relationship with himself. Paul wrote, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And then moving on down, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord." News of great joy. We don't deserve what God gives us. You see, we don't serve a God that makes demands. Most of our society believes that success is defined in what we do. If you work hard, if you perform well, you'll be recognized and rewarded. And it's really hard to wrap your head around a God that loves us so much that he wants to give. Not because of what we do, not because of what we accomplish, not because of anything else. This deal is no strings attached. The message this morning is God loves you and he has a free gift for you. A gift that will meet the longing of your heart. A gift that is so extravagant that you'll never deserve it and there's no way you can earn it. That's the gift of God. A gift that's so complete that once you receive it, you stop looking. Because there is nowhere else to go. The Christmas message declares that God always has and always will be for us. We can trust him. Christ fulfills the longing in our lives. And when we give him the place that's rightfully his, everything else changes. Sin was never part of God's design, as I just said. And there is nothing that any of us can do to get out from under the weight of it. So the good news was welcome. Most of us, when we come together as family, there is a love that's shared. And that's not difficult. Mary Lou and I have experienced separation this year. And we've realized that it's really tough sometimes being so far away from our kids. But at the same time, we live in a family that has enriched our lives. You see, there's a common denominator. A common denominator that while we do share the DNA of a sin nature, we also share a DNA of a royal priesthood, a bloodline that flows through us. John wrote, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And that's the good news. That's the good news that the angels brought. We share this same DNA as well. We're spiritually connected to each other. You know, have you ever gone into a church where you've never been before, and yet there was something in that church that was just right? You just felt connected. You were just part of it. And even though you didn't know another soul in there, you thought, this is family. Anybody experienced that? Yeah, I have. I have for sure. It's amazing how that works. You see, we're adopted into this family. Families care about one another. They laugh. They carry each other's burdens. They cry together. the idea of being part of a church family, not connected into a body, is contrary to Scripture. You see, either you're in or you're out. And there's no middle ground. Family members need one another. I bring you good news that's a great joy that is for all people. John writes in 1 John, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You see, I go into a church where I don't know anybody, and there's a family resemblance. That's the thing. That we have that connection through Christ. Recognized as one of God's children. Isn't it great to know you belong? It really is. You know, where we have each other's backs. There's joy in knowing that we're liberated from fear. I don't think it's a news flash, but we live in a world of uncertainty, don't we? Like, what in the world does the future hold? What are the events that we have witnessed even since the turn of the century? There aren't too many guarantees anywhere. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Who's got my future? Who holds my future? Who leads me into that future?" I think it was the human response that the shepherds witnessed to the Shekinah glory of God. When they saw the full glory, the radiance, it was beyond anything they could imagine. And they were changed. Imagine standing with your mouth wide open. Wow. What have I witnessed? Your heart filled with wonder. The message is for all of us. For those of us who have been liberated from the past, the message says, if we admit our sins, if we make clean breast of them, He'll be true to Himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us from all wrongdoing. I apologize for using a paraphrase there. But I think that expands it out. If we admit our sins, if we make clean breast of them, He'll be true to Himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us from all wrongdoing. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Joy in knowing that we have been forgiven. That the sin of our past lives, that DNA that is so deeply ingrained, is not holding us any longer. A number of years ago, Focus on the Family interviewed David Berkowitz. Does anybody remember who David Berkowitz was? Probably. I guess the gray hair is mine, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. David Berkowitz was a mass murderer in the United States. He was also known as the Son of Sam. Does that name sound familiar? Okay, the Son of Sam. Berkowitz explained to Focus on the Family, before he was executed, the difference that Jesus had made in his life. The joy that he had never known until now. He still had to pay the consequences for his actions. But in the eyes of God, even though he didn't deserve it, even though we all would say there is no way, Berkowitz received forgiveness because of the grace of God. And he said in the interview that he wanted to be known as the son of hope rather than the son of Sam. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the message that Christ has come. That he has entered into our reality. And he changes us. Nothing to fear. Past forgiven. Present and future is secure in him by the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives. When we know Christ and when we are known by him, we become children of hope, don't we? That's the message the angels brought. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Great joy, exceeding joy, abundant joy, a future, a place prepared. When the angels sang of joy, they were singing of the gift of God to all mankind. You see, the author of Hebrews says, and you know, I'm so glad that we started the service this morning with it's about the cross. Because without the cross, this is all just nothing. The author of Hebrews wrote, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus faced the cross with joy. I bring you tidings of great joy. He gladly faced the cross with joy because he knew that one day we would share the same joy with him. Paul describes that gift this way. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The joy. You see, God is all about giving. For God so loved, he gave. There are people all around us who long to know this, and yet they don't know what it is they're longing for. They don't know the one who's missing. Jesus said, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Tidings of great joy. Tidings of fulfillment, of peace, of having that inner longing settled in my heart. And this is where the Christmas story comes full circle. So very often, we struggle with totally following him. He may be Savior, but he may not be Lord. And that's a matter of obedience, isn't it? God's gift to us is for us to also give to someone else. It's a gift to be received and a gift to be given. That his joy might be in us, and that our joy might be complete. Do you know the joy that the angels sang about this morning? Would you just bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, I thank you so much for the song of the angels. Lord, I praise you for what you do in our lives, that you transform us and that you make us complete. Father, help us to never take that joy for granted. And in that joy, may we rejoice over and over and over again. Father, I just pray that you will speak deep into our lives today. Lord, that the desire of our hearts will be to share the news that the angels sang of. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name.